and we'll fade to the show. Hey everybody, welcome to the program, sports program. It's the weekend show, probably the almost the last Sunday show until we go back to Saturdays.
We're getting there. I agree with that.
Because once regular season starts, I don't want to be doing this show. I want to be watching football.
No kidding.
So I think we'll probably got, when does regular season start? It's a couple weeks. Maybe a few weeks away.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two more preseason games left for everybody, and then it has begun.
Yes, it has begun. Oh, and we will have we'll have Pigskin Pick'em for this season.
We do need to get that back going. Paul Page won last year.
He did. We will have an official team of sports program. We think we might have found the team. We think we might have found the team based on an old-ass quarterback. It was someone who slipped in there, though. Someone who slipped in last second. We didn't know we were going to have this team for our team.
Because we were trying to go, like, young guys, you know? But I think we're down to three. I don't think we need to decide till the season
starts. We haven't found it yet, no. But we have another one to add in, though, to the mix.
Maybe we'll do what we do with your basketball team and let the fans decide.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. So real quick off the top, it is between the Jets, I would say the Cardinals, and now, at least, the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Why, Zach? Why? Because Josh McCown has come out of retirement, and he
love
is...
Love of our life.
And he's, love man, him. I love him. I really do. And he's an Eagle now.
Well, let's just think about, it's sad to think about, but let's just think about it like this. Carson Wentz is going to get hurt at some point. So we're going to see him on the field.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that Carson Wentz stays healthy, which also sounds weird to say. I'm worried he stays healthy and then we don't get to see McCown at all. Then I feel like that's a wasted pick for us.
I know, and that's why I'm scared to take them as a team. Because I don't want to be rooting for the goddamn Eagles.
Well, they just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
They're not a big underdog team for us to take.
I honestly think the Dolphins should still be in there. But
no, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Dolphins are in there because they have both.
Because
they have something. What is the wedding thing? They have something borrowed and something.
It's something new.
They have both. They both Fitzmagic and Josh Rosen. Okay. Still in the mix. Yeah. Anyway.
So that's what the mix is right now.
Preseason's going good,
actually,
though.
Before the show gets too fun.
Okay.
Because it will. By the way, if everyone was wondering why we started at such obscure times, it's because we usually talk for, I don't know, like an hour.
We meant to start at noon. We both got on at about 10 or 12:10.
Yeah, and then we talked about White Claw.
And then we talked about White Claw. Which I am intrigued and interested.
Derek's not had a White Claw, and I'm literally just sitting here crushing him. So
he's swung me. All right. Before the show gets too fun.
Swung me. So before it gets too serious, I got to say something.
Okay.
Because I did bust out my Longhorn hat for it too.
Yeah.
I want to say it's a very sad day for me because Cedric Benson got. I found out Cedric Benson died this morning. Motorcycle crash last night. He was only 36. He is the number two rusher in this University of Texas history, besides for Ricky Williams. He is who I know as a child Longhorn fan. He was my favorite player at any position. One of like probably the five greatest college running backs of all time. I saw the Bengals post something today. Texas posted something. Yep. Mac Brown posted something. Ricky Williams posted something.
36 is very young.
It's too young. Yeah. It's too it's young too for that. But he is a legend in the state of Texas. He was my favorite player growing up. He definitely, like, ninth grade, favorite person to watch play college football. No one's really ran the ball like him since.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah. No, that's good.
He was the man.
And we didn't – that was kind of along the lines of, like, last week, too. You know, with the Steelers and their wide receiver coach, you know. Well, that's too bad right before a season start. I mean, I know the Bengals will – he hasn't been a Bengal for a bit, but
– But that's where he had his best NFL games, at least. I know he went to the Super Bowl with the Bears, I believe his rookie year.
Yeah.
But Had like most successful seasons. He kind of like almost revitalized his career in Cincinnati. I obviously remember him from college, but I mean, he's of that age, and I'm of that age where he was one of the few players I got to watch, you know, from day one in college all the way till the end of their career. So,
R.I.P. Good sir.
R.I.P. And now back to the fun stuff.
Okay, so few things. Some housekeeping. Oh, I decided to start doing a housekeeping section.
Get your housekeeping in order.
Do some housekeeping out of the way. Firstly, people listening to the show, you know, for the next few weeks, this is for people who are not huge sports people who listen to the show still, who I found out there is a population of.
Right.
The next few weeks, though, should be... The next few months should be nice for you because we'll be getting way more in the NFL. This is a great time for you to jump in for Pick'em.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, even if you're not a sports fan, you can ask Zach's mom, who plays Pick'em with us. And it's just a straight Pick'em. It's easy. We don't do over-under. We don't do any. It's just a straight Pick'em, which is so easy and so nice and so fun. This is a great time. We will kick back up with basketball talk again, obviously, around October.
Yep, the schedule is out now, which has me very excited. We're not going to talk a ton of basketball. People see the schedule, and it's like, we know what the schedule's kind of going to be. Like, certain teams play each other a certain amount of times. So,
And college football will be starting, because college is back in. And real quick, some housekeeping.
Yep.
If you're interested, and Zach, I hope you might be. Even though on Wednesdays the show is turned into LC Sports Talk with Derek and Alicia.
Woo.
Good time.
Yes.
Yeah,
I watched last week's episode.
Did you see that Gonzaga is on the men's basketball team schedule?
Well, and that's not the first time.
No, but it's incredible.
But I like that they do those like preseason games against Gonzaga and U of I and
I think
U of I last year, correct?
They did beat U of I, and they're playing them again. This is a great season for college football. This is another housekeeping thing. This year, I will be attending a U of I game, football game. But this time, I will finally get to attend a U of I game as an Idaho State Bengal fan. Because the Bengals are coming up to Moscow this year.
Oh, heck yeah. Maybe I should come up for that.
That's why I wanted to tell you that. You should come up. Come up and watch it. And they stomped the Vandals last year. The Bengals won big. So that should be fun. And I'll be paying a lot more attention to Big Sky again this year. Because my Bengals. Lifelong Bengals fan since I started my master's program. But the other part of that is they're also going to be playing them. They're also coming up to Moscow for basketball too, I think, like in March, or February or March. So I'm going to go to both of those games this year. I went and ordered a really nice Adidas Idaho State Bengals shirt. I'm really excited to wear.
I'm excited for you. That's awesome.
It's gonna be cool. I've never had my own NCAA team. I mean, I used to watch the Fighting Irish just because, you know, Rudy as a kid. You know me.
Right.
I choose teams based on movies. But, I mean, after I grew up and, you know, realized that Notre Dame is, like, nowhere near Lewis and Idaho, and then they sucked for a while. Long while. It was hard to...
Hold on to the fandom?
Yeah, a little bit. And then, I mean, I still kind of watch them, but I really don't. I don't care as much now. And then during the between 2003 and 2009, I started watching the WAC. Started watching Western Athletic Conference, and then Pac-12. I got more into Pac-12. You know, that stuff started making more sense because it's near here. And now I got the Big Sky because U of I is back in it, and I liked Eastern. But now I got my Idaho State Bengals. Anyway, I'm going to go to those games. You should come up. That's our housekeeping. That's out of the way. Now let's get into it.
One more housekeeping.
Okay, go ahead.
I mentioned the NBA schedule. Mm-hmm. February 6th, I believe, is the date. My Spurs come to Portland.
Oh, yeah, I think we should go to that.
I think it's the only time they come this year, so because if Portland goes to San Antonio twice this year, and not the last year, it was the other way around.
We should go because I'm thinking of from a fandom point, that'll be fun for us to both go to my first NBA game ever together.
Well, and I believe it's a weekend, too, so it's not like either of us are going to have to negotiate time off.
See, there you go. There's that. And then also, I can also just picture the cool pictures that we will get where I'm wearing a Blazers, you know, hat or whatever, and you're wearing your Spurs stuff, and we're at an NBA game. That'll be so fun. And we take the best pictures together, really.
Yeah, I'm ready for someone to get a nice picture of us. I have a picture behind us.
Oh, yeah.
Someone taking a picture from, like, the seat up above us, and you're just behind me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got to get that picture in. But everywhere both of us wearing, you wearing Spurs, we're crossing the aisle. Really. Beautiful.
You know what's funny is this wouldn't even be the first time that I went to a Portland game on a date with someone rocking Blazers gear. I actually did it while I lived in Eugene. And when I drove up to a Portland game, I went with a coworker, and she was rocking a Robin Lopez Blazers jersey.
Wow.
And then I was wearing my Kawhi Leonard gear at the time. R.I.P.
I know. I always try to find.
He's dead to me.
Yeah, right. I try to go to Goodwill, and I'll try to find, like, I'm like, man, I know I'll find, like, a Brandon Roy jersey here eventually or something. You know, like a, just like a, something. I'll find something. So I want a jersey, but I don't want to pay $100 for it. Anyway, not yet, anyways. But I do have a good.
I love finding discounted sports stuff.
Me too. I have a good hoodie. I have a good Portland hoodie, though, so that should do the trick. All right. So football season. Last week, we talked about the AFC and NFC West.
Right.
This week, we decided we were going to talk about the AFC and the NFC North. AFC North, of course, being my Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals, the Ravens. Probably one of the more interesting. This will be a really interesting matchup, I think, for this season.
Anyone can win it but Cincinnati, right?
I think so too, yeah. One thing is I like the position the Steelers are in. I like that they're the underdog right now. I think that's always really good for the Steelers, actually. Traditionally, it has been good for the Steelers when they have been counted out. Last year, going into it, a lot of people projected them to be, like, Super Bowl winners, and I got scared about that because they tend to underperform when they get placed that high up. Mm-hmm. This was, of course, before Le'Veon Bell completely held out. So, this year, I feel like the favorite of a lot of people is the Browns, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
And cool. I mean, still cool for them. I know they're a rivalry of the Steelers, but I still think it's cool. I like Baker Mayfield. I think it's interesting and cool that not only is Odell Beckham on the team, but he seems like he's actually having fun.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him have fun on a team in a while.
I think they're going to be one of the interesting stories of the year, as long as they are good.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the team with the cast of characters that they have.
Yeah.
If they get off to a bad start, I think it can be a real circus.
Yeah. And then, of course, you got the Ravens, and we still don't know what they are. I mean, realistically, right. I have no idea what that team is.
Their defense had some pieces move around last year. I think they're maybe going to put some different types of weapons around Lamar Jackson than they did last year. Obviously, mm-hmm. they got Ingram from the Saints to be their primary ball carrier.
Yeah.
We'll see how much he has left in the tank. Having to go from being a guy who shared times with Kumara to a guy who's probably going to get the bulk load of the carries. So we'll see if he has that in him. I think maybe at least for a year or two he does. So that'll be interesting. And then we really don't know much about the Bengals.
No, we really don't. In fact, the only thing that anyone really seems to think they know about the Bengals is that they stink, which actually could pay off in their benefit. I mean, they actually could end up surprising a little bit.
Well, I mean, Andy Dalton's not a bad quarterback. He's been consistently pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's not he's not like a good fantasy quarterback.
Would you rather have, at this point in their careers, would you rather have Andy Dalton or would you rather have Eli Manning?
I mean, much rather have Andy Dalton.
Same here.
But he's, you know, not an old man at the probably last year of his career.
No.
I do think this is a big year for Andy as far as not his starting status in the league, but his starting status moving forward with the Bengals.
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, he has a lot to go out and prove. I think that has a lot to do with A.J. Green's health, who's hurt again. We don't know when he's going to be back. I think he's currently doubtful. We got to see how John Ross now, I believe, in his second or third year progresses. Tyler Boyd looked great last year. We'll see how he does. Yep. I mean, that's a really good cast of wide receivers. Not to mention Joe Mixon is going to be much better year two. Their offensive line needs, we need to see what they can do. I think their defense will be better than last year. I like some of the people on it. So they're an interesting team. You're right. They do have the advantage of no one's really talking about them right now, which I think can be good.
Can be. So on the flip side of that, before we choose who we think wins it or anything, on the flip side of that, we mentioned the other division we'd like to talk about. We would like to talk about only because we're talking about the AFC North would be the NFC North. But what seems to be the most interesting about the NFC North for me this year is actually how uninteresting it actually is. And that's the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions. And I think we were texting earlier. I'm uninterested. I don't think the Packers are even sniffing the playoffs.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. But I don't think I am. The Lions, I'm still super iffy on. I mean, I had the Lions doing a little better last year than what they did. Like, a lot better than what they did. So that was too bad. I think for me, the NFC would probably be, I mean, more likely between the Vikings and the Bears. But I think, I'll go ahead and do my pick for the NFC North. I think the Bears win that one pretty easily.
Okay.
And I'm going by kind of last year, too. I think the Bears, we saw, I don't think the Bears will go to the Super Bowl this year, but I think they could get to the playoffs, and I think they could win a game. I think they have a solid quarterback now, finally. He's good. I would take him. I would take him as a quarterback. It's interesting because he's not a huge risk taker. Which is sometimes good and bad. But he's also one that I think last year if they wouldn't have went to the playoffs, don't you think that might have been it for him?
I don't think they would have given up on him in year two.
No, but I think they would have started maybe looking, though.
Yeah, I think they like Mitchell. And the thing about Mitchell Trubisky is he didn't play a lot of quarterback growing up. He's one of these guys who, like, came into the position later, didn't get a ton of starts in college. They knew he was going to take time. So I think they've always been under the impression that that's what's going to happen. So their offseason, interesting. Yeah. Howard's gone at running back because the progression they're going to expect out of Tariq Cohen, Mike Davis, and they got David Montgomery from the Packers, who has already looked pretty good in preseason. I like Allen Robinson. I like a wide receiver. I like the addition of Cordarrelle Patterson from the Patriots. And I got a soft spot for Taylor Gabriel because he's a former Falcon. And I thought I had him in fantasy last year. He was an interesting flex, too, from time to time. I also like Trey Burton at tight end. So their offense is stacked. I do think they are a top pick, but this is a tough division. The Vikings have a great defense. This is a division with a good list of receivers, but they have the best receiving core in the division.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best receiving cores of the NFC. to pair with the defense, we're going to have to see how Dalvin Cook does if he's healthy this year at running back. And Kirk Cousins needs to go out there and actually earn his money, because I don't think he's ever done that in his career.
Yeah.
Earn the money that they're paying him. But as far as Stephon Diggs, Treadwell, Thielen, I've always liked Kyle Rudolph at tight end, although I do think they are slowly replacing him. It seemed like that's what they were trying to do with the draft this year. But it's a good offense. So I think the Vikings are worth looking out for.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of had a down year. I could see them being a 9-win team. But the thing is I could also see the Packers being a 9 or a 10-win team. So yeah. I know you said you don't think the Packers sniff the playoffs. I actually like the Packers as potentially a second wild card team this year, because I think the Bears win it. I think the Lions are slowly finding out that Matt Patricia is not the guy. I do not think that they make the playoffs next year. I don't really like the roster. I like Kerryon Johnson at running back. I think Matthew Stafford throws for a lot of yards. But the receiving core, Amendola, Marvin Jones, Galladay, I'm just not sold on it.
No.
I think it's...
No.
It doesn't compare to the rest of the division. The Green Bay Packers are the interesting wide receiving core. Devontae Adams is right up there with Thielen, and Diggs is the best receiver in the division. But I think he actually might be a little better than both of them. So Packers have Aaron Rodgers and the best receiver in the division.
Right, yeah. So there is that for the Packers. They still got Aaron Rodgers.
And if you're a fantasy guy, one, you're drafting Devontae Adams in the first round. But what will be more interesting is the Geronimo Allison and Marquise Valdes-Scantling, who were both rookies last year and both showed a ton of promise. It'll be interesting to see who the guy is as the Packers number two, because I think there is room in real football and in fantasy football for one of the two to have a breakout year. So, like, you're going to get two good wide receivers out of this team, very similar to the Thielen and Diggs in fantasy football. From the Vikings, where you could have either, and they're both going to be good. I think we're going to have Devontae Adams, and then my personal opinion is probably Geronimo Allison, because he's a big play guy. And I like Aaron Jones at running back, so I know you don't think the Packers are going to sniff the playoffs, but I think that they have enough talent on the offensive end at every position, really, to make it. I also will be interested to see, and I think this will be a big thing, is how does Jimmy Graham do year two with Aaron Rodgers? Because I think that's what really opens up Devontae Adams on the outside, is that Jimmy Graham's there in the middle, you know? And it could be vice versa. Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison on the outside opening up Jimmy Graham year two. I think Aaron Rodgers isn't a big tight end quarterback. No matter what tight end he's had through his career, he doesn't really go to the tight end.
Right.
I think maybe this is the year where that changes, and then we'll see how their defense is. That's
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think if I saw the Packers go wild card, I wouldn't be completely surprised by it. I don't think they can win the division. I think the Bears will, and then if the Vikings did, I would be kind of surprised, because I've never been sold on Kirk Cousins, but
yeah, neither have I.
But if they did, you know, without receiving core, and sure, you know, I would take it. The Lions, if they somehow won the division, I mean, that's like one of those things, like, if they win the division, I'll eat my hat. Like, I just don't see it ever.
Yeah. I would be shocked.
The Lions are so weird, because they had, you know, They had a good season with Matt Stafford. Yeah. And then they paid him a ton of money. And now
it's
so far,
we see it with all these teams. They pay too much for their quarterback.
Right.
And then we never hear from them again. They're a middle of the road team for a very long time afterwards.
Before we talk about
it'll be interesting to see. Oh yeah, go for it.
Oh no, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say it'll be interesting to see, like, I know we're not talking about him this week. We talked about him last week, but it'll be interesting to see what goes on with the Seahawks with how much they pay Russell Wilson now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I still, my gut still tells me worth it. Worth the money for Russell Wilson.
I agree.
My gut still tells me that.
Over Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford? Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before we make our picks for the AFC North, we should talk about a few of the preseason games that happened, because there was a few, I think, just notable things. Granted, it's preseason, so nothing matters. But, I mean, there was a couple of takeaways that, you know, we had texted about throughout the week. I mean, one of them being that, and I don't want to be like somebody that kicks this dead horse over and over and over again, but man, I watched the highlights for Kyler Murray, and you know, we talked about the draft, how so before the draft they were saying he was like 5'9", and then when they finally did the combine, they were saying that he's 5'10", I guess. Right. Watching that preseason game, he looked so teeny out there.
He really does.
Tiny.
He makes Baker Mayfield look tall.
He didn't seem... So, linemen are not going to be the fastest thing out there, but they have bursts of energy. That's, like, kind of the point. Like, a defensive lineman is not the fastest person on a team, but they're going to have bursts of power and speed. And watching him play against some NFL linemen in the preseason, it was hard to make a case that he's going to be... And I know it's one game. I don't want to, like... This is, like, wild speculation, I know. It's one preseason game. But it was hard in that game, in my head, for me to make a case that he is going to be a really successful NFL quarterback. It was so hard for me to make that case. I know it's one game. That's wild speculation. I can't, like, bank on that. But on the flip side of that, I watched the highlights for Dwayne Haskins and some of the plays that he made, and I liked what I saw.
The hype that I'm feeling for him now is the same hype I was feeling for Sam Darnold last year, which was this. Even when he misses, it's exciting. And that's not a lot of, like, you can't get excited about a lot of other people missing throws. He'll make an amazing throw, and then he'll barely miss an equally amazing throw.
Yeah.
And even when he misses, you go, that's a super arm talented guy.
Right.
He is just out of, like, pure, like, gifts, you know, natural gifts, is going to be able to put the ball in places other quarterbacks can't.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray scares me, and here's a couple reasons why. Last week I talked about him scrambling around, he's going to get dinged up at that size no matter what. So even if he ends up being a good passer in the NFL, he's going to be hurt sooner than later. But not only that, it reminds me of near the end of Michael Vick's career when he was scrambling around, and almost every time he got hit, you were worried. But all of his passes were rushed because they played so much out of the shotgun. I think just the offensive style Arizona's going to want to play.
Right.
Is going to leave him vulnerable, and we saw that he was getting chased around like crazy.
He couldn't make anything happen.
He's got an amazing arm, especially for his size. Like he can do a lot of the things even like Haskins can do. These are two very rare arm talented quarterbacks. The thing is Haskins going to have that durability where Kyler Murray's not. I also just really don't like Arizona's line right now, just from what I saw.
Hitting that shotgun. Yeah. So, and that's what I was, that was kind of what I was wondering. So I wondered while watching the highlights too, you know, for every play they ran that shotgun, and he was just, boy, he just struggled. And I wondered, you know, if they just did a traditional pocket pass for him, I wonder how much better he would be, you know, just not trying to scramble so much, but actually if he had an offensive line in front of him that could hold it and give him a couple seconds, I think he could be great.
But I just don't think he can throw out of, like, an eye formation. I don't think he's going to be able to see over the line to get the lanes that he needs to make the right passes.
Right.
I wonder when we're going to get to see him under center for the first time, because it has to happen eventually.
Yeah.
There's no one who plays strictly in the shotgun all the time.
It's just so crazy because the comparisons are obviously made. I mean, you and I have obviously made the comparison between him and Baker Mayfield. They play for the same team. They play for the same team. They Baker Mayfield has a tendency to, he'll go out and try to make stuff happen with his legs as well. But from what I've seen, Baker seems to make, for one thing, I think he has a little better offensive line. So he has a couple more seconds to do stuff. And he seems to make a lot like Sam Darnold when Baker Mayfield, I think he just makes better moves. He makes better calls in his passes. But Kyler's still new. I mean, obviously he's still new and, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't want to judge it on one game. I'm just saying when I watched those highlights, it was really hard for me to make the case that this guy was going to be like the thing for a team.
You know, one thing I actually took note of, because we talked about both teams last week, because we talked about the NFC and AFC West, who actually did look good to me. And I'm kind of surprised. A lot of quarterbacks look good in the preseason. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
A lot, especially veterans.
Yeah.
But Derek Carr looked great.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he made some really great throws out there, and that was without Antonio Brown.
Right.
I will be very excited to see them play together. People forget Derek Carr has had at least one MVP-esque season where he took his team to the playoffs, and if he doesn't get hurt, they probably win some playoff games.
Yeah.
And people just they literally shit on him. Humans take dumps on that man. Full-blown dumps.
Full-blown dumps.
And they're like, oh, Derek Carr, let me get in the appropriate position.
Let me dump upon him.
Yeah, can I dump real quick? I got to dump.
I got to dump out. Where's Derek Carr?
I got to dump out. You said Derek Carr's name.
Just hearing his name triggered me. I got to dump out.
It's dumping time.
This show. So I personally like Derek Carr. I haven't watched episode 2 of Hard Knocks yet.
No, I need to.
I need to as well.
I watched episode 1 finally.
I meant to
No, I didn't. Okay.
I meant to watch episode 2 before this show because I wanted to talk about it, and then I honestly forgot about it.
I forget about shows all the time.
Yeah. They have it on. I told you, you can watch it on YouTube. They put the whole show on YouTube. But I totally spaced it. So I will be watching that. We also have like HBO Go, so I could watch it on there too, but I just need to go watch it. Maybe I'll do that today a little later, but we could jump in the AFC North. I just want to talk about a couple of those preseason games, just kind of some stuff on the quarterbacks. I think Sam Darnold looked awesome.
I think Sam Darnold looked amazing. Sam Darnold on the move is brilliant.
Yeah.
Once again, he's got more weapons this year.
Yeah.
I like him. To watch regardless.
I like him in New York.
I agree. I just hope the Bills or the Dolphins or the Jets or one of those, just saying all three of those teams just makes me like, I don't know. It's like someone just said, I couldn't decide between Walmart or Target or Kmart on where to get my Hanes underwear.
I know exactly what you're saying before you're saying it.
I just hope that there's one goddamn team that can give the Patriots a little bit of trouble. Like, I've been saying it for years. The Patriots, it's a layup to make the playoffs every goddamn year.
Right.
Everyone knows Bills are like my number 2 squad.
Sure.
Everyone knows it's dumb they're not called the Buffalo Buffaloes.
And you're not even
goddamn sense. Speaking of layups, Buffalo Buffaloes. How do you not call your team that? If they changed their name to the Buffalo Buffaloes, I would forget all other teams existed.
You're also like, not even a traditional, like, you're not like a traditional New England, you know, hater guy, even, really. Like,
But when you think about path of least resistance, the Patriots have that every year. People go, they're a dynasty, you know, successful year after successful year. Well, yes, they play the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills twice a year, every year. So if you have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you're probably going to take care of business. So, like, last year it just seemed like they never had to do anything to make the Super Bowl.
I am going to say that this year, if he does not play 100%, if he does not come out of retirement, that's Gronk.
Yeah.
I am hopeful that without Gronk, we could see something happen there. Gronk is not, I mean, we've watched the guy play. He's, I mean, at this point, he's like Frankenstein. He can't bend his elbows and knees.
Right.
But we've seen, dude, Tony Romo explained to us in the playoffs what they were going to do with him. And in those moments, Gronk was still absolutely key to getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, Tony Romo explained it to us. Oh, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm finding Gronk on this next play. Like, Gronk is still seriously, he's so dangerous in those last second plays. But Gronk's the reason why they were able to beat the Chiefs, because those last second plays where they absolutely needed him to do something, he was there and did it. And he's still big. He's still imposing. Yes, he can't bend his elbows and knees anymore.
So I don't think he comes back. I just want to get that.
I don't think so
out
either.
There.
And I don't know if it 100% matters.
I don't either. Here's the thing. We could talk about the Patriots for a second, even though that's probably next week's actual topic. We'll just do it real fast. Tom Brady has Sony Michel, James White, and Rex Burkhead at running back. He has N'Keal Harry, who is, in my opinion, was the best wide receiver in the NFL draft. Demaryius Thomas, we'll see what he can do at his age. Julian Edelman's still there. Philip Dorsett's there. But not only all of that, Josh Gordon just got cleared.
Yeah.
Potentially their best offensive player this upcoming season just got added to the team out of nowhere. So the Patriots still don't have anything to worry about. As far as I know, but we'll talk about it next week, because I do have opinions on
Do you want to do East next week? Because I was thinking South, but
I mean, we could do the South XP. We could talk.
We might have to do.
We can talk Falcons.
We might have to do both. Falcons.
I'm ready to talk. Well, actually, we might have to do both to fit the time.
We actually might have to do both. Yeah. So AFC North.
Let's get to the AFC.
AFC North, and this was a tough one for me because I do want to be non-biased. I really do. But at the same time, I do have a bias because I'm a Steelers fan.
What could you do?
But I think what we did mention, the Bengals, one of the nice things for them is that nobody's talking about them. That said, I still don't think – I mean, I don't think they win the
– You think they're bottom of the division?
I do think they're bottom of the division. I am going, because the Steelers are my team and because they are an underdog going into this season, I think the Steelers do have a good shot to win the division again, to go back to the playoffs. That said, I also think they could have an opportunity as a wild card team as well. The hardest decision for me for this division is actually between the Browns and the Ravens. I just don't know what those teams are yet, still.
They both seem like teams that could, you know, consistently win two games, lose two games, win two games, lose two games. By the end of the year, they're both 8-8.
I mean, if you're looking at, like, I was looking at the full package for each one of those teams. So, going with my bias and going with, like, that division itself, I was looking at full package, though, for each team. I still feel like the Steelers have the best offensive line of the four teams, and that gives Ben times. That gives Ben time, and then he's got Juju Smith-Schuster. He's got Switzer, who ended up being a great addition to the team. I mean, Switzer was great last year. Then, of course, they got Vance McDonald, And then, of course, the Steelers are always really good at taking players who are not, like, number one wide receivers and making them weapons. So the Steelers have a really well-rounded offense. Here's the key for them for me this year is I feel like we're going to see – we saw it last year. We saw an improvement on the defense. They also added some great pieces in this offseason to that defense. If what I think is going to be correct for that defense, I think the Steelers could win that division. I think they're going to have a good defense this year. A better than what it's been in the last I think they have a. I think they finally have somebody to replace Shazier.
No, Devin Bush is going to have a huge year. Devin Bush. I thought that was a great pickup in the draft.
Same here.
I have already liked Bud Dupree. Terrell Edmonds last year, the youngest person drafted at 20 years old out of Virginia Tech. I think he's just going to get leaps and bounds better every year. Like, he's only turning 21 this year, but he's already got a year of NFL experience under his belt. I do like the pickup of Dante Moncrief at wide receiver from the Colts as just someone to relieve a little pressure from Juju Smith-Schuster, who's going to have to do a lot this year. It'll be interesting to see another year of James Conner.
They also added another running back, or they have another running back piece too. What's his name? I can't remember. Not bad.
Jalen Samuels.
Yeah. Not bad.
I think that's a nice number two to have.
Yeah. Same here.
So Pittsburgh will be better. I do think if I was to bet on who won this division, I would say Pittsburgh. Just to me, that would be the most comfortable pick.
Right.
And then it's really a toss up between the Ravens and the Browns for the second best team. Obviously, I'm going to give the coaching experience to the Ravens all the way. And I think addition of Ingram can be good. We'll see what happens with all of these guys that they drafted at tight end last year in year two, because that's when tight ends actually start to show up.
So coaching.
My problem is I think people are going to figure out Lamar Jackson by midway through the year.
Yeah. Okay. So. Man, you are so good at this. You're so good at reading the future. So I want to parrot you on coaching for the Ravens. Yes, my worry for the Ravens / hope is that Jackson is figured out early, and I think again I was looking at more well-rounded. I do tend to think that Baker Mayfield's gonna be more well-rounded on his team than Jackson will be on his. I just don't. I loved watching Michael Vick play back in the day. I love watching a scrambling quarterback. I like it. It's fun to see. Even the season, you know, the couple seasons where Cam Newton was like on fire, like it was.
Yeah,
it was
like MVP
fun.
Cam. Yeah,
it was fun to see it. I can't invest too hard in that for a team. Because even with Vic, he had a few seasons that were really bad. I mean, not for him. He still had, a million yards rushing. And it was still cool to see. But, like, ultimately, I just can't invest too hard in that style of play. Baker throws more often. He has Odell Beckham Jr. He has Jarvis Landry.
Njoku, who I think is going to be a huge fantasy bust. I'll give at least one fantasy bust on the show.
There you go.
Suck it, that guy. People are too hot on him right now.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it. Dude doesn't know how to catch footballs.
So I think you're right on like why to pick the Steelers too. If you're not even a Steelers fan, even with them being kind of like the sentiment being like this underdog, I kind of don't even get why they're the underdog, because they honestly to me feel like the most conservative bet of the three of those teams.
Agreed. I think the Browns are the biggest. They're like the big risk, big reward bet of the three.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh.
Because they could not make the playoffs, or the hype could be real and they could win a Super Bowl.
Right. I know. It's absolutely crazy. I'm excited to watch Browns games.
I mean, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to see what happens when Vic the Snake Mayfield gets out there. You know?
Did you just make it up, or?
I just went for it.
I love it. That was good.
I almost screwed it up because I just went for it. You know?
Yeah. Vic the Snake. I also could see, like I said though, I could see the Steelers going wild card in though. I could see them being wild card in. Which actually, if they went wild card in, I like them as a wild card.
Oh, I mean, I don't think that even matters anymore in the NFL. Like,
no.
Once you're in the playoffs, you're in the playoffs. Yes, home field advantage is great, but I mean, we've seen the Steelers do it before, go from wild card to Super Bowl. We've seen the Patriots go from wild card to Super Bowl.
I just hope that this year Ben keeps his big stupid mouth shut on that radio show.
Yeah.
He needs to I hope that he needs to stop. He needs to learn. He's making beef. Dude, the dude is old. Like, he's a seasoned veteran quarterback now. Like, he, of all the people to know not to do that. He needs to take a lesson out of, like, Tom Brady's book. And when he does his radio spots, just do, like, the whole, oh, it's a team effort. And, you know, you just...
Oh, I hate it. Dude, I hate listening to how fake Tom Brady is.
So do I, like,
what's the point of even doing a show if you're not going to show any of your real personality?
Hey, you know, I've told you this, how I wish Tom Brady was. We've talked about this before. I want Tom Brady to be a WWE heel. I want him to be like, yeah, pretty much the best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. I mean, I want him to be a jerk. I would love him if he was heel Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, but earlier in his career, and then he still went out and did all the stuff that he did afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, not now. Don't switch now.
No, you can't switch now.
You can't
now
brag
be
about
like,
things you did previously.
No, because that'd
be...
I want
someone to talk that way and then go out and do it every week.
Because that would be like John Cena going heel. Like, how sad would that... Just don't. Don't do that. Ironically enough, they're a lot alike to me, too, so...
I agree with that.
But that's where I want to see somebody like Josh Rosen be successful, though. Because Josh Rosen can be a heel. I mean, even in his speech when he didn't get drafted number one or even in the top, like, five, he was salty. And I was like, oh, man, I want him to be successful.
But isn't that what Baker Mayfield already is? Baker Mayfield's already a heel. And
I mean,
people don't seem to like it very much.
But I mean, I feel like a lot of people do like Baker Mayfield, though, too. He's grown on me, man. Like, the whole... I mean, I sent you that thing on Instagram when he shotguns the beer and he's wearing his Lindor jersey. And I was just like, oh, man, that's so hilarious. Like, go for it. Have fun with it. I think at this point, regardless of how his career goes... I think Baker Mayfield retires a Brown. I think he's smart enough to understand that he could be a king in that city with LeBron James being gone. I think he knows it, and he could be Cleveland's Russell Wilson, like Cleveland's darling child now.
Okay.
Because Seattle is in love with Russell Wilson.
That's true.
Like, the city's in love with him. Baker Mayfield should take some notes from Russell Wilson, start investing in the city.
Yeah, I mean, this is the NFL. We talked about it last week. Like, I mean, if you're a great quarterback, you're probably going to stay put your whole career.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just interested to see if he really is still, I'm not sold, this
no,
great quarterback.
No, no, no.
People really overhyped those numbers last year.
They did.
On how great he was. And I'm like, I personally did not see it. But I don't know. I mean, enough people are saying it. Maybe it's true.
It's good for the story. But, I'm less on the numbers. I'm more on the story.
Right. So I guess moral of today, we went pretty dang chalk. And we both stuck with the safe bets. And
yeah.
Just to confirm for the listeners, you are going Chicago and Pittsburgh.
I'm going Chicago and Pittsburgh, which when you look at both of those two teams are both very conservative, very conservative bets, I think.
Yeah. And I'm probably playing this the same. So, yeah. I mean, part of me thinks that the Packers, like, there's going to be a team who turns their shit around. Packers could easily go from 6 to 10 wins, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The NFC is just so stacked again this year. I mean, Vikings could turn around and be a 10-11 win team again. But I think the safe bets here are Chicago and Pittsburgh. And maybe they're not, because I think some people disagree. I think some people think Cleveland is the pick this year. Like, they're ready to hop on the train right now. But
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready yet. There's a lot of talent there, though, for sure, on the offensive end.
Yeah. I'm not ready yet. I think when we start talking AFC South and NFC South, I think we can go more fun with that because...
Well, someone new wins the NFC South every year.
Yeah.
Well, every year. I mean, all of a sudden the Panthers could be back with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey and that defense.
I think
Falcons were the first team in the NFC to go back-to-back years in the playoffs in, like, a really long time. No one else was doing it.
Well,
they could be back.
Wouldn't you say that you would be? I'm slightly intrigued. I'm intrigued with Bruce Arians coming back to a coaching role.
I think the Buccaneers win one game next year. they're really bad.
I know, but they suck. I like Bruce Arians with them though. I traditionally have liked him as a coach. If he was with Pittsburgh, so.
Me too. I just don't see a single upside to that team, player wise. I don't know.
I think if anyone was going to do something with Jameis Winston though, you could see Bruce Arians doing something with him.
Yeah, benching him. I think that's what he'll do with him. I think what he'll do with Jameis Winston, he's going to do something and it's benching him. He's like, oh, I thought of this really good idea for the team. And they're like, oh, what is it? We got to know. What's this new idea? He's like, oh, yeah, not playing Jameis
Winston. We're not going to play Jameis Winston. And they're like, oh, yeah,
but
totally.
But for a really long time, ever.
Oh, no, how long are you thinking? And he's like, oh, until he goes to another team.
Yeah, probably until he quits football. which is hopefully soon.
Man.
I don't know. Just things to look forward to. No, but I will say, obviously, the Saints probably should have went to and won a Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
So, they're going to be scary. If they're getting rid of Kumar or Ingram, you know that they're pretty hot on Kumara, and I believe they Latavius will be a good backup for him. They have one of the best wide receivers in football, and one of the best quarterbacks and coaches of all time.
So how about we say next week we do South and East. Next week
let's bust it all out.
Next week let's do South and East. For the last few about 10 minutes of the show though, let's go ahead and talk about your UFC.
Right. So I was just going to segue us into that because you mentioned Cleveland, King of Cleveland. There's only one King of Cleveland, the original champion of Cleveland, and that's Stipe Miocic. He is not LeBron. No. Stipe was the first person to bring a title to the city of Cleveland.
Okay.
And he says that. One of the first things Stipe said after he won one, he's like, yeah, I brought Cleveland its first championship when he won the heavyweight belt. He won his fifth heavyweight title fight last night, beating Daniel Cormier. I was personally not rooting for him. I was rooting for Daniel. I wanted him to be one of the few guys who goes out on top. I like when a guy knows when to retire and they go out on a win. And I thought he had a great opportunity to do it, although I don't think if he won, he was going to retire. I think he would have either called out Jon Jones or actually that's what he would have done. He would have taken the Jon Jones fight again because that's how he would want to end his career. Mm-hmm. I think by him losing, there's zero chance the Jon Jones fight ever happens. If he does come back, it's got to be him versus Stipe 3, which makes more sense anyways. Jones beat him twice. There's no reason to have a third fight, in my opinion. There never was.
Do you think this also takes away from the... So let's say he comes back and fights Stipe and wins. I mean, I guess. Do you think with Cormier losing, nobody would care to see him fight Lesnar now, I think. That's over, right?
I think Lesnar fighting anyone's over now. I mean, if he would have came back, he would have done it. And, that's the thing is, Lesnar would have gotten this fight over Stipe if he wanted it. And then I think it would have been a lot easier for Cormier to collect one more payday, win the fight, call it a career.
I personally think Lesnar's made his decision, and that's with, I mean, you keep seeing him re-sign with shorter contracts, but he keeps re-signing with WWE and then still gets placed in matches and stuff. I think we're seeing toward the end of Lesnar's career probably, and WWE's an easier paycheck for him.
Well, and I think in a lot of these guys' cases, I mean, even Stipe turns 37 on Monday. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of these heavyweights are just getting older. I think it's we're about to the point where we're going to need a new generation. Mm-hmm. So I think they're slowly trying to make that happen. I think Francis Ngannou is who's going to get the next one if DC doesn't want it. So they'll probably offer DC a chance to fight one more time and fight Stipe. And personally, I would love to see it if he wants to do it. Why not have a third match if the first two were so good? I mean, Daniel dominated the first two rounds of last night's fight. Stipe just made a really good adjustment, and he started attacking the body, and he won the fight, which was awesome to see it in a heavyweight fight, because a lot of people don't make an adjustment in the fourth round of a heavyweight fight when they're that tired and they're getting punched by that big of a dude, and he did. And props to Stipe. He is the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, not even close a number two. I don't think it tarnishes DC's career either. No, so no. Whether he comes back or whether he doesn't, everything's fine there. That was not the highlight of the night, though.
Did Daniel cry?
He looked like he was going to cry. He definitely looked like he cried out of the octagon when he went up to his kids. Because, I mean, I mean,
that's he's an emotional man.
He's an emotional man. And you know what's funny? But he's also an intelligent man. Yeah. And he has a full-time job as a broadcaster. So no one gave a better summation of the fight than he did afterwards.
He has a full-time job as a broadcaster, and I believe he's still getting a little bit of money. I think he's still working with WWE a little bit too in some capacity. So,
well, I think a few of these guys are going to move over soon to full-time jobs over there, and he wouldn't surprise me as being one of them. No. Which I've alluded to on the last couple shows of people who are trying to make the transfer over. You're right. It's something good to do at that point in your life. You still got enough athleticism. He's a character. He's a good talker.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome. That wasn't the highlight of the night. The highlight of the night was the return of Nate Diaz.
I was going to ask you about
first time fighting in 3 years since he fought Conor McGregor. A lot of people were worried. I get texts all week long. Who's winning the fights this weekend? Who do I bet on? Who do I do? And I was like, well, I had Paulo Costa, Nate Diaz, and Stipe Miocic for my bets. And that's what I was saying to do, because to me, Stipe, younger, bigger, faster, that all made sense. Nate Diaz was fighting Anthony Pettis. I was thinking football player Austin Pettis. Anthony Pettis, who, I mean, he did look great against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson in his last fight, but he also got him on a Superman punch off the cage out of nowhere. So I wouldn't call it a lucky shot. It was a carefully timed shot, but it was also in a fight where he was probably losing that. And traditionally, even when he was at 155 or 145, if he fought a guy who was taller than him, they used their range, and that's how they beat him. Nate Diaz, yes, he took 3 years off, but the dude is the cardio king. He's been doing triathlons this whole time while he's been off.
That'll help.
He's clearly been working on his wrestling, which I did not know. Was kind of surprised there. But no, that fight went exactly how I thought it would, except for, honestly, I thought he would have submitted him. I didn't think it was going to go to the distance. But that was the people's main event, as it's called. That's what people bought the card to see. It wasn't DC Cormier or Cormier Stipe. It was definitely that fight, and I think it lived up to the hype. Cool. Now he called out Masvidal, so that's awesome. So now we got the two-piece in a soda guy versus the I'm not surprised motherfuckers guy. That is where they should be. They're two absolute, like, OGs, legends of the game. They should fight each other. They're both going to sell it. They're both going to – even if they secretly both like each other, which they probably do – they're both going to sell it as a feud. They're going to make it happen. People are going to want to watch that fight. It will not be a co-headliner. I guarantee, even though neither of them has a belt or even a high ranking next to their name, that will be the main card of either a pay-per-view or something.
Cool.
I'm excited for that. And then Paulo Costa, Yoel Romero at 185. I don't know how either of those fucking monsters make 185 pounds. I heard the new Godzilla movie's terrible. I don't need to watch it. I watched it last night. It was insane. More action for sure too, because I don't think there was 15 minutes of action in that movie from what I've heard.
Oh, but that's a bummer.
These are two dudes who look like they were injected with steroids at birth.
or could it have been? I want to make the reference.
If you've seen the boys.
I was going to say, what is it called?
These are genetically made human superheroes. Yoel Romero at 42 years old looks better than anyone I've ever met in my life physically. and he's 42. He's getting punched in the face by Paulo Costa, who I've never seen anyone punch that hard.
Yeah.
Ever. He's getting punched in the face, and he is sticking his tongue out after every punch he receives. He is a terrifying human, the soldier of God is.
God,
mostly because it genuinely seems like that's what he thinks that he's doing is going out there and fighting for Jesus. And that's just a terrifying thought.
That's great.
I'm going to murder, but for Jesus.
it was a good match, though.
That was fight. I mean, it won fight of the night. I believe it was fight of the night. It might have been fight of the year.
That's cool.
As a third to final fight, that's insane. Paulo Costa will absolutely next fight be a title fight against whoever wins the Whitaker Adesanya fight, which is equally amazing. Aussie versus Kiwi, Australia versus New Zealand.
That's cool.
Down under. It's awesome that the two best fighters at 185 are both from the same area. Ariel Adesanya, a.k.a. The Last Style Bender, is the man. Hands down, the coolest guy to watch fight right now. Whitaker is my favorite, though, so I will be rooting for him. That is going to be awesome. And then I believe Paulo Costa comes in there and probably ends both of their lives. Like, he could probably just go fight both of them at the same time after what I saw last night.
That's
but,
great.
Yeah, last night was card of the year, for sure.
Good.
I have not seen a card that good in a long time. And exciting stuff.
That's
it's
good.
Back, baby.
That's awesome. We're back, baby.
We're back.
Well, that sounds pretty good timing to start this music back up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in the show today, Sunday. Next week, we'll be on Sunday again, I believe.
I think that'll be our last Sunday show.
Probably be our last Sunday show, though. Probably, I mean, physically, it can only be our last Sunday show because we have to go back to, if we want to watch games on Sundays, not do shows. Yeah.
Plus, it's kind of fun when we do shows during college football games.
Yeah, I like that too. I really like that, actually. A lot of fun. Make sure you check out the Wednesday shows. That's from 88.9. They're also available on Facebook through the KLCZ Facebook page. A lot of fun. This episode will be up. I'm planning on working on it when I get done here. Last week I had the show up the same day. I was so proud of myself, so I'm gonna do it again.
I know, and I heard that was appreciated by the coworkers.
Good.
So
I'm gonna
give people something to listen to on Monday morning.
That's my hope. So I'm gonna work on that when I get done here. Everybody, thanks for listening to the show again. Thanks for tuning into Facebook and YouTube for the people who do that, and then of course. We are available on Spotify and iTunes and iHeartRadio.
Get some.
Get some. Oh, I like it. We need a new catchphrase. We need a catchphrase. Everybody have a great weekend and enjoy your White Claws.
Claw with the claw, baby.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.